Today, if you will, and turn to the book of Psalms. And if you will, we're going to begin in Psalm chapter 28. You know, this is the time of the year that when we think about Thanksgiving and Christmas and just a special time of the year to be able to be in God's house, it's always, I think, a special time of the year to be in God's house every month of the year and every season throughout the year. But I know many times many folks will find their way to the church house on around Thanksgiving or Christmas especially, and then around the Easter time of the year is always a special. And you think about Christmas being the virgin birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and about Easter with the resurrection. And then when you think about it being in the Lord's house, no matter any time that we go, it's always important, I think, that we look for God in the Bible and we think about what it is that God has for you and I as we worship Him, and that He would then speak to our hearts and give us that which we need through the Word of God. So I'm going to preach a message today. I simply titled this, God in the Psalms. God in the Psalms. I have a book in my library that I quite frequently use. We'll look at it. That no matter what book I'm studying in the Bible, it talks about Christ in that book. The Lord Jesus Christ in that book. So I don't care if you're over in Genesis, and because Jesus, there never has been a time that He did not exist. He has always existed. So I don't know, when you read your Bible and look at your Bible and study your Bible, but one of the things that we should be looking for is, what is the message in that Bible that God has for you and I? What is God saying to me, and what can I benefit, and how can I see God in this, and how can I see Jesus Christ in this? And so if you're looking for it, you can see God all around us in our creation, obviously. And, you know, if you think about it, get up early in the morning, watch a sunrise. Stay up at night and watch the sun go down. And or the other day, we had a rainbow here a few weeks ago, and a rainbow in the sky. And to be able to look at that and to see God, and it's just a quick reminder for you and I of the God, the supreme God of the universe, and the things that He puts in place. Oh, the beauty of a sunrise, the beauty of a sunset, and a rainbow that He placed in the sky, reminders that He is God and He's on the throne. Or to be able to walk through nature and see all that's around you and I, and to know that God spoke all that into existence. He breathed that into existence and named all that and put it into place. And so, but we also need to see here God in the Psalms and how that relates to our lives on a daily basis. I would encourage you to take and spend some time during the Thanksgiving season of the year to spend some time in the book of Psalms. You know, we live in a very busy world today, and when so much is going on that it's easy to go through a day, if you're not careful, without seeing or thinking about God. And I think that's a tragedy. We get so busy in our lives, and there's so much commercialism, and there's so much in business, and there's so much going on. I mean, everywhere I'm going right now, I'm running into this thing, Black Friday's coming up. And shopping, all the retail outlets are going to be able to go after your business and get your dollars and the shopping and all that's going on. So we can get very well caught up in the busyness of the year, the shopping that goes on, the deals and the savings that are here or there, and or around all the way from Thanksgiving all the way up through Christmas. And yet, if we're not careful, we don't think about God during this time of the holiday. And yet, it's one of the greatest times of the year to reflect on, to think about, and to seek out our God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to share with you some things that, when I look at the Psalms, that I see that God means a lot of different things to all of us. But some things here that come out in the book of Psalms. Psalm 28, if you will, today. We're going to begin here in our text, of looking at God in the Psalms and how and what that means to you and I, and what we can relate to that to you and I, and how that can be a blessing and an encouragement to you and I, no matter where we're at in life. Psalm 28 and verse 1 says, "Unto Thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if Thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit." And hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto Thee, and when I lift up my hands toward Thy holy oracle. Draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace unto their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts. Give them according to their deeds and according to their wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the work of their hands. Render to them their desert. Because Thou regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of His hands, He shall destroy them and not build them up. Blessed be the Lord, because He hath heard the voice of my supplication. Then if you will, in verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped, and therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise Him. The Lord is their strength, and He is the saving strength of His anointed, and save thy people, and bless thine inheritance, feed them also, and lift them up forever. I want to key in on that verse in verse 7 right there, because it simply says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. And so the first thing I want you to see in the Bible is that God is our shield. Some of you today, and we need to claim Him as our shield. And a shield, if you think about that, is a defensive weapon of war. A shield is a defensive weapon of war. So God is the shield of His people. Yahweh here is the shield of salvation. And God protects His people. And so if you think about it in the Bible, the more than anything else, we know that Satan goes about up and down the land seeking whom he may destroy and devour and try to hinder for the cause of Christ. And the attack is in higher powers, God against Satan. And so he goes up and down the land seeking whom he may destroy. And we need a shield. We need a protection. We need a protector. And so God is our shield. Nothing can get to you and I except what God allows or permits. I believe the Bible is very clear in teaching the sovereignty of God, that God is sovereign. He's omnipotent. He's on the throne. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. And nothing can happen to you or I or any of us that God does not already know about, and that He does not already approve and does not allow and does not permit. God is the giver of life. God is the taker of life. God allows on a day-to-day basis the things as we trust Him. And so we need to realize and understand as we go through life that God is our shield. It's a defensive shield for you and I, and we need that defense. I cannot fight off the flesh. I cannot fight off the wiles of the devil. I cannot fight off these things without God's power and without God's shield. You and I, whether we realize it or not, we need God every day and every step of the way. God is our shield. Look over, if you will, in Psalm chapter 18, back a few pages. Not only is God our shield, but we also find that God, secondly, is our rock. In Psalm 18 and verse 2, verse 1 simply says, the psalmist says, David writes, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer and my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Verse 3, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death, David says here, compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about, and the snares of death prevented me. And then in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of His temple, and my cry came before Him even unto His ears. So secondly is to realize that God is our rock. And in Psalm 18 and verse 2, he makes that very clear. So not only is He our shield, but He is our rock. A rock is from the rock that God provided water for His people in the wilderness and provided for them living water. So this is really a divine name here, symbolizing God's function as our Savior, as our Redeemer, as our refuge. He is our rock. He is our stable foundation. A rock would also indicate that He is that foundation in our life. It's important that we have and that we build upon the right foundation, that we have the right foundation. So He's our shield to protect us, but He's our rock in which we can build on. He's the right foundation in which we can build our lives and serve Him and be faithful to Him. And it indicates also that rock, that which is strong and is secure and is safe about the person of God. So I'd encourage you today to realize if you want to build your life in Christ, you want to build your life, is to build it upon the right foundation, upon the foundation of the rock of Jesus Christ, and to realize He is our shield and He is our rock. Look over in Psalm 74. Psalm 74, if you will, in verse 12. And you realize today there's much going on in the world in which we live in, but he says here that God is our King. In Psalm 74 and verse 12, as it really begins back up in verse 1, he says, O God, why hast thou cast us off in Psalm 74? Forever, why doth thy anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture? Remember thy congregation, which thou hast purchased of old, and the rod of thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed, this Mount Zion wherein thou hast dwelt. Lift up thy feet unto the perpetual desolations. And even all the enemy that have done wickedly in the sanctuary, thine enemies roar in the midst of thy congregations. They set up their ensigns for signs, and a man was famous according to as he lifted up axes upon the thick trees. But now they break down the carved work whereupon at once with axes and hammers. They have cast fire into the sanctuary. They have defiled by casting down the dwelling place of thy name to the ground. They said in their hearts, let us destroy them together, for they have burned up all the synagogues of God in the land. Verse 9, we see not our signs. There is no more any prophet, neither is there any among us that hath known how long. O God, how long shall thy adversary reproach? Shall the enemy blaspheme thy name forever? Verse 11, and why withdrawest thou thy hand, even thy right hand? Pluck it out of thy bosom, for God is my King of old, and working salvation in the midst of the earth. So here we find in the scripture, and I love verse 11 and verse 12 there, oh, why withdrawest thou thy hand, or even thy right hand, pluck it out of thy bosom, for God is my King of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. And so we see that even today, God goes about up and down the land and around the world, and as the gospel is proclaimed, people come into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and realizing they need the right foundation, they need the right message and to receive that. And so a king here is the one who is in charge. It's interesting, I find this, that he is our ruler, he is our God, he is our sovereign, and to realize our absolute monarch and the most important one. I find it interesting, if you will, if you go back even to the book of in the Old Testament and look at King Saul and the nation of Israel and the relationship that they had, that God was their king with Israel. And I remember the day that they came and the people looked around the nations around them, and they had kings and rulers and those that served, and Israel cried out and they said, we want a king. Give us a king. We want a king to rule over us. And God has said in the Bible, I'm paraphrasing some of this now, you go back and you study and you look at it, and God said, I am your king. You don't need any other king. God is the king of Israel, and God is our king here, and he talks about in this, but they cried all the more to be able to look around the world they lived in and said, we want somebody to rule over us. More than anything else, God wants to be your king. He wants to be the one in charge. He wants to be the one that rules. He wants to be the one that is sovereign. He wants to be the one that is the absolute monarch of our life. Let God rule in your life. So he is our king. So not only is he our shield and that, but we also find that he is our rock, but he is to be our king, and to realize that no other king should be able to rule than that of the Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father. Look, if you will, in Psalm 23. What a great psalm this is. In Psalm 23, it talks about here, and a great one that we use it many times during funeral services. Talks about in the psalm that the Lord is our shepherd, and to realize here, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He is our shepherd. Think about this and being our shepherd. A shepherd is one who tends to the sheep, and one who feeds the sheep, and one who guards the sheep. And so he is our shepherd. And to realize that the shepherd always, and the Bible, carries a sling to protect himself and the sheep against the wild animals, in the Bible we saw. But he carried a rod or a stick about 30 inches long with a knob on one end of it and a staff that looked like a walking cane, usually with a crooked, being crooked on one end. Nobody cares for your soul more than the good shepherd. And so he tends to his sheep and feeding you and guarding you and protecting you and nourishing you. And we need to realize that God is seen in many ways in the Bible. God is our shepherd. He knows what's going on. He's trying to protect you and I. He is our shield. He's our rock. And we find he's our king, but he is also our shepherd. Then, if you will, look over in the seventh chapter of Psalm here. I love how we find that the psalmist gives us these pictures of God in the Bible. You know, do you ever think as a child growing up, I wonder who God is. I wonder what he looks like. I wonder, you know, what is our relationship to him? There's some people that live in absolute fear of God. There's some people that understand fully that he loves us. But God serves in many different capacity here in Psalm. And if you will, look in Psalm chapter 7 and down in verse 11. It also, if you really start back up in verse 1, O Lord my God, Psalm 7 and verse 1, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me, lest he tear my soul like a lion and rending it in pieces in which there is none to deliver. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there be iniquity in my hands, if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, and yea, I have delivered him that without cause is my enemy, let the enemy persecute my soul and take it, and yea, let him tread down my life upon the earth and lay my honor in the dust, Selah. Verse 6, Arise, O Lord, in thy anger, and lift up thyself because of the rage of mine enemies, and awake for me to the judgment that thou hast commanded. So shall the congregation of the people compass thee about, and for their sakes, therefore return thou on high. The Lord shall judge thy people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness, and according to my integrity that is in me. And O let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just, for the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins. And my defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. God judgeth the righteous. Notice that in verse 11. And so we find here at verse 11 and verse of Psalm 7 right here. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. So to realize, and you know, we do, it's very easily visible today in our world that we live in, that you can see very much so righteousness and good, but you can see evil in the world that we live in. And sometimes we have no explanation when evil stands up. I was the other day, you probably don't do this, but I was flipping TV channels, so I was getting a little bit about talking about the rise of evil, and it was going back to the days of Russia and Stalin and communism, and then it kind of walked down through history a little bit of how evil throughout the world has risen up from time to time and generation, and today we see it, even the evil in the world that we live in. The fight against terrorism, the fight against, how do you explain how somebody can walk into a church in Texas just like this one, take a gun, and just begin unloading on people, and 26 people dead. There's evil in the world. Or you take, I was watching a thing the other night, I was talking about these soldiers, our special ops soldiers, and military, and Navy SEALs, and Army Rangers that have gone into Afghanistan and gone into parts of Iraq, and the missions that they were on, and the dangers that they faced, and the battles that they were engaged in, and some of them never come home. How do you explain that, to realize that there is evil in the world that we live in, and God knows about that, and He will judge that, and God says He hates evil, and God is angry with the wicked every day. But also we find here that God judgeth the righteous. So you and I need to understand that one of these days that God is our judge, and you and I will have to stand before Him and give an account of every word, every deed, everything spoken in this life, and we are held accountable to God the Father. A judge is one who is appointed to hear and to decide. A person qualified to give an opinion or decide anything, to be able to hear and then to be able to pass a judgment. There was a few years that I worked in business, and our corporate attorney was a great attorney, did a good job for us anyway, and did a great job in the community that we lived in. But he decided one day he was going to run for being a circuit court judge. And Don Teeple was his name. And so when I sit down with him, I said, Don, you're going to run to be a circuit court judge? He said, yeah. I said, I don't know if I'll win, but he said, I think that's something I want to do. So he did. He ran for the election, was voted in, became the circuit court judge. And I remember sitting down with him one day at the courthouse, and I said, do you really like what you do? He said, yeah. He said, I do. But he says, it weighs heavy on your heart. He said, because you sat, and he'll listen to all kinds of cases, felonies and things and criminal cases, and then everything, as he weighs all the evidence and looks at everything and then knows the law and then applies the law to those cases, and then he has to pass a judgment to that person. And some of those were very, very serious felony accounts. I said, man, I'll tell you what, I would not want to do that for all the money in the world. But to realize that God sits on the throne, and He is our judge, and it is God who hears and decides all the evidence and then becomes fair in His judgment. It is only God who is qualified to give an opinion and decide on a human being's future and reward or loss of reward. And I told Don, I said, that would weigh heavy on me to be able to sit there, weigh all that, look at all that evidence, understand the law, and then apply it, and then pass a judgment, knowing that this person that's being passed on to judgment could be spending the rest of their life in prison, or somebody that could be sentenced on to a death penalty or whatever. And so it's a very weighing situation, but it is only God who ultimately is qualified to give an opinion to decide on a human being's future and reward or loss of reward. It is only God who can hear and then pass that fair and that reasonable. So God is our judge. Look in Psalm 46. Psalm 46 in verse 1, it talks about here, the psalmist, that God is our refuge. What an interesting word that he uses in Psalm 46 in verse 1. God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. If you're in trouble today or if you're going through something today, God is a great place to run to and to go and let him take you in and find refuge there. And then it goes on to say in verse 2, therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and as be troubled, though the mountains shaken with swelling thereof, Selah. So when you're looking here and to realize in Psalm 62 and verse 7, is in God is my salvation and my glory and the rock of my strength and my refuge is in God and God alone. Psalm 46, it was really the scriptural, and this 46th Psalm was really the scriptural catalyst for Martin Luther's great hymn, and many of you are familiar with this great hymn, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. And this psalm also launches a trilogy here of Psalm 46, Psalm 47, Psalm 48, are all these songs of great triumph in the Bible. And goes on in Psalm 47:1, oh, clap your hands, all you people, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Then you get down to Psalm 48 and verse 1, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God and the mountain of his holiness. So these are great songs of Zion, or great, and it talks about God being our refuge and God being our strength and God being in times of trouble and help. And so we need to realize that no matter where you're at, sometimes, you know, the people, oftentimes we get to that point and we think that, if you're not careful, you can try to solve something on your own first. Or you try to get to a human solution first. Or you try to take somebody's advice first. Why don't we just learn and learn well and learn the hard way that we should take that to God as our refuge and take it to him in prayer and to realize that he is our strength and in any time and situation in trouble, he is our help. Not long ago, I received a letter from a man that's in prison here in Michigan. And he was reaching out to churches and saying that he found repentance and found salvation while behind the prison walls. And he was reaching out to local churches in the community to be able to find a church that would reach out and love him and give him a second chance, and said that he found God or found Christ, and he found him as a refuge, but he said he had to go through, it's amazing, because he hand wrote it all out in pencil to me and then passed and came through the mail. And looking for a place, and was explaining in there how God became his salvation. And so he was looking for, sometimes before people look up and begin to, they have to go clear to rock bottom. That gentleman did. And so when you think about it, God is our salvation. God is our glory. God is our strength. God is our refuge. And so in that, we find refuge is a place that we can go and hide and find help and find encouragement. Look in Psalm 31 and verse 3. We find that God is, in Psalm 31, he is our fortress. You know, you think about this word, it's interesting. I remember when they built they had a little country nine-hole course there in Frankenmuth years ago, golf course, and they decided to make it an 18-hole championship, or a nice course, and they were looking in the community of names of what they're going to name this course, and they come up with the fortress. What an interesting word when you look at it, because a fortress is really a fortified place protected by a mighty fortress, something that cannot be penetrated. And when you look at it here in Psalm 31 and verse 1, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Let me in thy deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for a house of defense to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress, the psalmist says. And therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privately for me, for thou art my strength. Into thy hand I commit my spirit, and thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God, out of the truth. And so when you find here that he is our fortress, God is our fortress, something that cannot be penetrated, we should be able to go to him. We're protected by our mighty God, of which nothing can penetrate him, us, unless God allows or permits that. The greatest example of that I find in the Bible is, it's interesting, because you open up the book of Job, in Job chapter 1, what a great Bible story. And you see there, and God initiates a conversation with Satan and simply says to him, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Remember that in the Bible story, you go back to Job 1, God says to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" "No, because God," this is Satan talking back to God, "because you've put a hedge of protection about him, you've got him fortified, you've got him protected in, I can't get to him." And then God says to Satan, "You can go and you can take everything he has, except you cannot take his life." And so therefore, and to realize that God is our fortress, he is our mighty strength, he is our place of refuge, and Satan cannot get to us unless God allows, permits, and allows that to happen. And so, and you often think about that, well, why would Job have to go through all that and to realize, and never a man lived like Job, and the great faith that he had to be able to put through that test and to be able to be tried through the fire. The man lost everything he had, lost his children. His wife asked him, said, "You know, just curse God and die and give up, Job. No man should have to suffer this much. Come down with boils and come down with health issues, lost his health, lost his family. He was a very wealthy man, lost all of his wealth and his money. Everything that he had. Just curse God and die. Give up." And Job would not do it. And Job remained faithful. And his faith remained stronger than ever. And God blessed him for his faith. And so oftentimes, sometimes the trials that we go through, the heartaches that we go through, the challenges that we go through, oftentimes might be just God taking a hand of protection off to allow us to go through something to test our faith, our resolve with him. And to realize here that God is our fortress and we are protected by our mighty God. And if something's happened in your life or has happened or may happen, realize this, that God has a plan and a purpose for everything. We just need to trust him. So draw closer to God. Don't become bitter. Don't become angry. Don't become hateful. But God has a plan and a purpose. And we see that great example in Job's life. And then we find in Psalm 26 here in verse 1 that God is our avenger. Notice this in Psalm 26:1, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide." This word, this verse means to judge me, it means to vindicate me, referring to the exoneration here of some of the false accusations or charges under the prosecution of a covenant stipulation or some theocratic laws. And so his integrity is at stake. And this is not a claim to perfection, but of innocence, especially as viewed against the ungrounded legal charges that are here. So God is our avenger. He says in verse 2, "Examine me, O Lord, prove me, try my reins and my heart, for thy loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in thy truth." God knows. Have you ever been falsely accused about something? Has something ever been said about you? God knows. Has something ever happened in your life and that? He says, just walk in integrity and trust God and to realize God is our avenger. In Psalm chapter 8, look in Psalm 8 here, not only is he our avenger, but he is our creator. And to realize that God, I don't know how you can look around this universe and not understand and realize that God is a great creator, God, our Lord. And Psalm 8, verse 1, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. And out of the mouth of babes and suckling hast thou ordained strength, and because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. And when I consider the heavens and the work of thy fingers, the moon, the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor, and thou madest him have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet." So we serve a creator God. What a great, I don't know about you, but I sometimes just have to stand back in total awe and just pure amazement of all that God has created and made and put in place. To see his creation, his handiwork, and all that. And then we're in a Bible study the other night, and I come across a verse that talks about, and the stars that God has all put in place, and to realize that he's named them one by one. What an innumerable host, and to realize thou madest him to have dominion over thy works in the hands, and thou hast put all things under his feet. And so this psalm of creation, who creates all, the supreme being, God created, took something from nothing and made this world that you and I live in today. Nothing evolved. God spoke and it became in existence. Look in Psalm 37 here. God is our deliverer. In Psalm 37 and verse 39, but the salvation of the righteous is the Lord, for he is the strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. So who are we trusting in today? God is our deliverer and the Lord shall help them. A deliverer here is a noun. It means to set free or to liberate. It means to save from evil or danger or restraint. And so God is our deliverer. Back just a couple chapters there to Psalm 30. In verse 2, God is our healer. In Psalm 30 and verse 1, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up. And hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. I think of that verse when I think about this. And, you know, if you really think about it, the health that God gives to you and I, it is really ultimately in God's destiny and God's hand what he chooses to do with that. I see within our church family, sometimes someone will get cancer, and for whatever reason, they might be put on a path, and God will heal or put that in remission and heal and give them strength and add years to their life. But I also find there's some time to time that God says, no, I have another plan and a purpose for you. We don't always understand that. God, yes, and God has the ability, and there still is healing today. It's one of the gifts that was done healing in the first century Christianity, the gift of tongues, the gift of healing, the gift of miracles. Those were sign gifts in the first century that are not done today by pastors and evangelists or missionaries or whatever. But God, don't make no mistake about it, is still in the healing business. And the Bible and the psalm right here just verifies that. God can choose. If you just got a medical report, God can choose to heal that immediately if he so chooses. We just need to trust him and to realize that God is our healer and healer. God alone is, David here is extolling God for bringing him back from a near-death experience. And many people have near-death experiences, but it's God that ultimately heals and provides that for you and I. Look in Psalm 5, then if you will, God is our protector. What, you know, you think about this. Now, I saw a thing this week. The church in Texas that had the shooting, that come in with all the bullets riddled all over that sanctuary and 26 lives lost, chose to have church in there again after that. I don't know, I'd heard one thing that they were going to tear the church down. I can't imagine in a facility of that to realize, and I heard somebody say, well, how can that happen? If God is our protector and God allows us, and to realize the only way you can look at it in the Bible is to realize that there's evil and corruptness in this world. And to realize here in Psalm 5, look at it in Psalm 5, you get down to verse 11, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Now, I don't have easy answers for this, and you ask yourself the question, how can that happen to a church in America? Why couldn't God stop in, immediately stop that and prevent that from happening? Evil, God allows, permits evil to reign in this world that we live in. Could God have stopped that? Oh, absolutely he could. In a moment, he could have, created something that would not allow that to happen. I don't have easy answers for that. When you look at it here, God defends. And so our total trust is to put your trust in God. And I was listening to a clip by the pastor of that church who lost, I think, a 14-year-old daughter in that bloodshed. To be able to stand there and worship God and to be able to say that God doeth all things well and that God is still on the throne, even in the loss of life, even in the loss of your own daughter's life, is an amazing faith. It's amazing strength, and to realize here to put his trust in God. And so God, yes, he is a protector, and the only way you can look at it is God allows, permits things to happen, but God also balances the books, and God also will bring that into judgment, and God also he knows exactly all the pain and all the struggle and all the heartache that's going on, lives, many lives that have been changed for eternity throughout that situation. Psalm 78, look if you will, let me give you two more and we'll be done today. Psalm 78, God is our provider. God is our provider. Everything that you and I have, everything that we own, everything that we are, God provided that for you and I. And so through our stewardship, we need to learn to trust Him and to realize that God provides. Psalm 78. And look at it, if you will, down to verse 23. Psalm 78, verse 23. Though He had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven and had rained down manna upon them to eat and had given them of the corn of heaven, man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. He caused an east wind to blow in the heaven, and by His own power He brought in the south wind. He rained flesh upon them as dust and feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea. And He left it fall in the midst of their camp round about their habitations. So they did eat and were well filled. And for He gave them their own desire, and they were not estranged from their lust. But while their meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. For all this they sinned still and believed not the wondrous works of God. By that meaning, God is our provider. The story simply picks up in Israel as they left Egypt and they were on their way to the promised land. They get out in the wilderness and realize they had all the great food and all the great provisions down in Egypt. And now out here in the wilderness, Moses, You brought us out here. There's no meat to eat. There's nothing to have. And what are we going to do? And so they waited on the Lord, and God provided the manna and provided the quail. Day by day, manna and quail. Day after day after day in the wilderness. And you find here that even in God's provision here, Israel, God had rained down manna upon them to eat and had given them the corn of heaven. And the Bible talks about angels' food, if you will. And then He caused the wind to bring all that into the camp. And so here, God provided for them. God knows what you're going through, and He has a plan to provide for you and I. We just need to trust Him. And then when He provides for it, don't complain. Think about that. Well, God, that's not exactly what I had in mind. Manna and quail is not exactly what I had in mind. So don't complain. In the middle of our provision, God is our provider, and to be thankful for what He provides. God is our Redeemer, then, if you will, last of all today. And Psalm 107 and verse 2. So when we see in the Psalms, God is in the Psalms through and through. We find Psalm 107. Really, verse 1, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." So when you talk about this thing on redemption, or redemption here, a reference to Israel, who's been redeemed and delivered from his enemy, now focuses on God's goodness and God's everlasting grace. But you and I have been redeemed today, friend. If you're here and you ever trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're redeemed by the blood of Christ. And He's provided a way of escape. And so God shows up in a lot of different ways in the Bible. It's interesting. You ever ask a child, what do you think God is? Describe for me what you think God is. What does He look like? How is our relationship with Him? And I think here the Psalms paints a picture for you and I to understand who God is. And we need to understand it in the Bible, that God is our shield and He protects us. He is our rock. He is our king. He is our shepherd. He's our judge. He's a place of refuge that we can go to in times of trouble. He's our fortress. He's an avenger for you and I. He's our creator God. He's a deliverer in the times of trouble. He's a healer, and He can provide healing. He can protect, He can provide, and most of all, my friend, He can redeem. He can provide redemption for you and I. And if you're here today and you're not redeemed by the blood of the Lamb that it talks about, He can redeem our lost souls. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He's the way, the truth, and the life. The Bible's very clear. No man cometh unto the Father but by the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the only way to salvation is through the Redeemer, through the Lord Jesus Christ, and to realize that He paid our sin debt and provided a way for you and I to have eternal life. So when we go forth from this place, one day in your life, God might be your shield. One day in your life, He might be your rock and your foundation. Another day in your life, spend some time in the Psalms here and to realize that He might be a refuge, a place that you can go to and find safety and find encouragement and go to get what you need in the Lord. Our God is a great God, and God is all over the Psalms. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, today we thank You for being our God. We thank You for being our shield. We thank You for being our fortress. We thank You for being our rock. We thank You for being our Redeemer in Jesus Christ. So God, today there may be some here today that needs that shield today. Some might need the fortress today. Some might need to come to find a Redeemer today in Jesus Christ. So God, speak to our hearts today, and may we realize the world that we live in, yes, it is evil and corrupt and sinful. But God, You're a great God today, and Your name is all over the Bible, all over the Word of God, and may we learn from this, and may we trust in that, and the God that we serve, and realize there are some days that we need to call upon You and go back to these Psalms and reflect upon these, and to realize that we can trust You and have confidence in You and find safety in You and find deliverance in You. And God, may Your Redeemer, as the Lord Jesus Christ, provides a way of escape, may we trust in You for our salvation and for the promise and the hope of eternal life. And God, here we are today. We lose another dear friend, Charlie Bagwell. Saved by the grace of God, given his life to Jesus Christ, and You provided a place of salvation for him, and he was ready for heaven. God, may we never take lightly, never take for granted, because we don't know when that's going to be our day. And so may we prepare ourselves today for that day and trust in You. So God, today, may You be our fortress. May You be our shield. May You be the rock of our salvation. May we find strength and hope in You. And God, most of all, during this Thanksgiving time of the year, may we be thankful that You are God and You're on the throne. And we can trust You and believe in You and have confidence in You, the great God of the Bible, our only God, our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's stand together, if you will.